So look, if you want to grow your wealth, your income, and increase the amount of time off, then these are the shortcuts that can help. Welcome to the Wealth Creation Podcast.
Hey guys, it's Dan Lasso speaking. Hope you're well today. So, beautiful warm day here in Spain, like 25 degrees. I got sunburn on my arms and I've actually got lines. That's quite nice. Okay, so let's talk about confidence in this session. If you're listening to this on the podcast, by the way, then thank you so much for tuning in. Always appreciate that. And if you're watching this on YouTube on replays, then again, thank you so much. Just click like and subscribe. If you've got any comments, just put them in the comment box down below. If that's what you see. And if you've got any questions, that kind of thing, then please ask away. And we'll try and be an open book during these Q&A sessions or these podcast sessions that we record. So let's talk about confidence. And so this conversation literally has just come about because someone messaged me, and she's probably watching as well, about how to kind of regain confidence when you've had it knocked out of you. And I can tell you from experience that I've definitely had it knocked out of me, especially through the family court system, which makes you feel like you're just not even worthy of being a human being. It's just the most horrific thing. I would definitely remember times a judge, a solicitor, and a barrister, and my ex all sat in front of me, and it was just a horrific, horrific time. And it's like they're all ganging up on you, and you've done nothing wrong other than want to see your kids. A horrific experience. And if you wonder why I don't trust authority or the police or social workers or anything like that, then actually that's why 100% we don't rent any properties to those sort of people, nor do we rent properties to anybody who works at Leeds City Council, because bollocks to them, quite frankly. They're the rules. They created them. We'll play by them. So confidence-wise, though, it can knock it out of you because your self-worth becomes so minimal and it becomes really hard to kind of build it back up. So that's what I want to talk about in this session. I'm not just going to have a go at police officers and social workers and Leeds City Council, but we may go back to that. But I want to talk to you about how you build up your confidence. So this is a really crazy thing is we are very capable people. As human beings, we're very, very capable. I know, you know, judging by Facebook comments, people are not very capable, but majority of us are very capable. And you go through this experience and you come out of this experience feeling much less capable than you actually are. And so the key here is how do you recover some of that belief in your capability? And so there's a couple of things that we can cover off straight away here. And if you've got questions, put them in the box below. Number one then is you want what we call little victories. I hope you guys can see me. It's a little bit dark in here, isn't it? Let me see. Is that better? There's a bit more light there. There we go. So the first one is what we call little victories. Now, a little victory is based around you doing something that you've set yourself out to do. I'm just checking. We've got a delivery coming today, by the way. So let me just make sure. It's the beauty of going live, isn't it? We'll show you around where we are as well, so that's not too bad. So a little victory then is you setting yourself out to You setting yourself out to go and do something, and when you do it, you can tick it off because that's the thing that you've actually done. Okay, and it can be anything. Like depends on where you are. For some people, just putting their socks on before their shoes is like is the thing for them. Do you know what I mean? Doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't have to be buying a multi-million pound business. It can be just a small thing. It can be just posting out on social media. It doesn't have to be massive. But that's why we call them little victories, because the little victories start to add up. It's like this. You know, if going live for me is very easy, so easy, in fact, I don't mind picking up a laptop and walking down to see if the delivery's arrived. Just makes no difference. It's more authentic. It's more human. It's more realistic. That's how life is. But for some people, they don't even go live because they're worried about what other people might think. So just going live is a massive victory for them. And they think it's not that big, so what's the point in doing it? But they don't even do it in the first place. And they never get anywhere. They never get to move forward. And it's like, okay, just write down a list of all the small things and start working your way and start ticking those things off. And if you're scared of going live like this, do that 100 times. So your first goal is do it once. Your second goal is do it 5 times. Your third goal should be doing it 20 times. Your fourth goal doing it 50 times. Your fifth goal doing it 100 times. And then after 100 times, you won't care what people think. you just go live and it really doesn't matter. So that's the first thing, is you've got to start building up little victories. The second thing that you've got to start doing is this self-talk. The words that you use to yourself are as important, if not more important, than the words that you use when speaking to others. So in NLP, or any hypnosis, in fact, there's an experiment where you've got your eyes closed, and on one hand, you've got a stack of books, and you've got your eyes closed, and imagine me putting more books on the hand, and the hand slowly starts to go down. The eyes are closed, and unconsciously, they don't recognize that's what's happening. And then on this hand, imagine you've got 10 balloons filled with helium that are lifting your hand up. And what happens is, in this little hypnosis NLP experiment, is that this hand goes down and this hand is floating up. And these are the words that you're imagining. This hand has got full of heavy, heavy books, and this hand is full of helium balloons lifting your hand up. And if those words can make this hand drop and this hand lift, imagine what that does about your psyche for the next 10 months, 20 years, 1,000 years, whatever. We're not alive for 1,000 years. So 100 years, 50 years, 10 years, 1 year. And the words that we use to talk to ourselves are very, very important, and we don't recognize it. We bang our knee on the table and we go, oh, you're so useless. You're useless at everything. And suddenly that one little mistake of banging your knee on the table has ruined your entire day. And I've done this, by the way. You know, the internet's not working. The router's gone down. That's it. The day's ruined. Do you know what I mean? It's crazy. It's just the routers just having a bit of time off. It's in self-isolation, just having a bit of a rest because it's been working so hard with Netflix. May the 4th today, by the way, International Star Wars Day. Happy Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you. My young Padawan was teaching, my youngling, where it was being taught in the lounge there this morning. We're watching Star Wars, and we're going to watch the film that's released today. I'm going to watch that tomorrow. Very exciting time. And obviously, I'm wearing my Imperial Stormtrooper t-shirt, obviously. So the self-talk that you have with yourself is really important. And I need you to kind of start listening to the words that come out of your mouth. So when I'm coaching with a client, sometimes I'm listening to what they say, like sometimes, right? But it's not necessarily the words about what they're going to do. It's their words about how they describe themselves. So we took on a client last week, and they had a session, a coaching session with one of their clients. It's like £115. And I asked the question, how much is the first coaching session? They said £115. And without skipping a beat, they then justified the price. And I'm like, hang on a second. Why are you justifying the price? What? You know, there's some mental anxiety in that price because you don't think you're worth it, because already instantly you're having to self-justify to the other person. Like, my coaching, for example, one-on-one, excuse me, £6,000 for 12 months, okay? We make no justification whatsoever on that coaching product. If you want us to coach you, we know it's more than worth £6,000 anyway, because the returns that people get on that is substantially more. Or life-changing in other ways. Not everything is measured by money when you get to a certain stage in life. And in fact, we don't coach new people anymore. We only coach people who've already gone to a certain path, that got to a certain stage, and then want to step it up an extra notch. And so they're the people that coach, and that's why we can afford to charge £6,000 for coaching. But I'm constantly listening for the words that are coming out of their mouth, which describe them and their psyche and their attitude. And I also, when I'm speaking, I'm constantly listening to the words that are coming out of my mouth. Excuse me. So those words will tell you an awful lot about where you are in the world and what's going on in your life. And it's about time that we started to be more kinder to ourselves. So the first bit then, number one, was little victories. The second one then was the self-talk that we say to ourselves. You know that voice inside your head that says, should I watch Netflix? Should I put Star Wars on? Oh, no. Well, should I make a cup of tea? That voice that's constantly jabbering, that's your self-talk. And it's the same self-talk that says that you're useless, you're no good, you're fit for no good, you've got no purpose in life, you're a terrible parent. I still have that, by the way. I still have to go through. One of the issues that I've suffered with for a long time is one of guilt. Bear in mind, by the way, through family court, I jumped on a plane and I flew four times a month back to England for 4 years. Okay. And after that, by the way, social services called me an absent parent, by the way. And I'm like, guys, do you know anyone else who's flown 1,000 miles every single, 4,000 miles a month to go see their kids? I'll wait until you remember how many other, but you have the goal to call me an absent father. So it's like, and by the way, I spent 80 grand on court fees and solicitor's fees to get access to my kids. So I know that that's not true just because some penis decides to label it like that. So I know what's true. And it's almost like you've got to switch that stuff off. So this is then number three, is turning off other people's opinions. Other people's opinions are based on their story that they've made in their mind to help them justify how they think about you. So from social services point of view, in their mind, it was just easier for them to go, well, he's male, so he must be a bad man. That's it. It makes it much easier for when they're trying to prevent access to children to put that in their mind, because that's much easier to tell as a story than a guy that flies so many miles to go out and see his kids. It's about how you see yourself, nothing to do with how other people see you. Nothing. It's got what, like, I love this as a saying. I'm going to say it. Okay. So what you think of me is of no concern of mine. It's got nothing to do with me. Okay. What anybody thinks of me is nothing to do with me. They can just keep thinking whatever they want to think. That's not a problem. Now, I might try and adapt that, but like family court, for example, you know that they've got a particular motive, like the other solicitors, their motive is for you never to see the kids again. Doesn't matter if you're a good parent or not. That's simply their motive. That's what the money is telling them to do. And by the way, Mr. and Mrs. Solicitors, we're coming for you at some point. So you don't need to worry about that. Justice will be served one way or another in the next 10 years. So, and we don't mean that in a violent point of view. We mean that in, you can lose your job and your reputation. So don't worry about that. It's all coming. So this is one of the things that happens, is when you go through all that stuff and you come out the other end, you find this extra power from somewhere. Okay. And you need to find where this power is. So number three then was about you not worrying about what other people think about you. Number four then is about you finding your superpower. So like, we had a lost 10 years, a lost decade of growth, both from the business, both financially, and so on. Relationships, we did really well. We moved out here to Spain, and actually we did okay financially too. But we could have done so much more. We would have more businesses owned than we have currently, and we'd be doing all this extra stuff. But we kind of lost 10 years because we're battling in court and all of that kind of thing. And that's okay. We did what we needed to do in order to survive that and be there for the children, et cetera, et cetera. And we got through that. But after you've gone through that, in your period of recovery, you've got to understand, what is your superpower? What is it? Is it your ability to survive? That's a superpower. Is it your ability not to care about what other people think about? That is also a superpower. You look at people who do very well for themselves and simply don't care. And I'm going to name some names here that you might go, oof, let me grab a drink and I'll name them. Piers Morgan really doesn't care what other people think about himself, about him, but he does very well for himself. Katie Price really doesn't care about what other people think. She just wants to get in the news as often as possible. Now, I'm not saying that these are two great role models by any stretch of the imagination, quite the opposite. But as an example for someone who has their own superpower, which is ultimate belief in what their opinion is. And by the way, this is definitely something that I'm cultivating now as we speak, because I'm very confident in my ability to get things right. We call things very well. We called COVID-19 before it hit. 3 weeks before it hit, we were all stocked up, ready to go into lockdown before lockdown happened. 3 weeks before. We were there. In terms of business, in terms of being able to read people and their problems and going, oh, I know what your problem is, this. Off one or two sentences, we're very, very good at doing that. We're actually quite good at telling the future. And when other people, you know, if there's another 100 people and then there's me, guess who I'm going to listen to? It's not 100 people. So my superpower is ignoring the 100 people and doing what Dan wants to do. That actually is a superpower. And that goes opposite to what everybody thinks. Everybody thinks you should do what the 100 people, because surely 100 people can't be wrong. And they are. Inevitably, they're constantly wrong on an ongoing basis. And so it's like this idea, this is the superpower. Maybe this is your superpower that you should actually start to get. Now, I'm not saying I don't listen to the opinions of these 100 people, because I definitely listen to opinions. And then I tell them to piss off, because they're wrong. And I go do my own thing, and it's right. Do I get it right all the time? Not always. Do I get it right more than the 100 people averaged? Absolutely. That's why we happen to live here in Spain. We've had 2 good months financially, despite COVID-19. We prepped. Everything's running. Everything's up and running. Everything works fine. Everything works smoothly. And in fact, right now, we're looking at buying more businesses and seeing what we can do to buy more businesses during this time when everyone else is panicking. The 100 people are all panicking. They're all furloughed or out of work or struggling in some way. And actually, we're thriving because of the stuff that we've put in place, because we listened to one person, and that was yourself. Now, by the way, did we always get it right? Absolutely not. Did we make some absolute conquer of some mistakes? Absolutely. But over time, we actually started to get it right. Okay. So your superpower that you need to choose or design, you know, superpowers aren't stumbled across. They're not stumbled upon, okay? Your superpower is designed by what you choose it to be. And my superpower, I chose not to care about what other people think. It took an awful lot of time to get through that. You know, if you go on Property Tribes, for example, on Property Tribes, there's some stuff about me completely inaccurate, completely untrue. It used to really bother me 4 years ago. And now I'm just like, fuck it, I don't care. You say whatever you want. I don't even reply anymore. And any replies that I might do, they actually go through on YouTube or they go through this channel, and they go, the target of those people who actually want to listen and learn and adapt and evolve and move on to the next stage, not the people who've got a fixed mind and are stuck. Look, there's a thing sticking out of my head there. Not for those people who are stuck in a way of thinking that they're going to be stuck in for the next 30 or 40 years and unable to adapt, and will in 30 or 40 years look at me and go, how the hell did Dan do that? I thought couldn't do that. When we're doing all this extra stuff. So the superpower that you need to design, that you need to choose upon, that you need to write down and say, this is the person that I want to be, and you start writing it down. What does that person look like? What body have they got? What's the income every month? What do they do to help other people? What training courses have they got? What transactional products can people buy so that they can learn how to do it? Have they got an Amazon store? Whatever that business happens to be for you. But it starts from those 4 things. I can't remember what they are now. So number one was, help me out here, folks. What was number one? Number one was little victories. Number two, I can't remember. Self-talk, number two. Number four was, I can't remember number three. Number four was whatever it was. This is a time, by the way, where you put questions in a little box down below, which I don't think we've got any just as yet. But please let me know if you've got any. And also, I forgot to put my little banner up. Business Growth Show, there we go. Reminds me what I'm supposed to be talking about. So this is about you building confidence. And you, honestly, you don't build confidence. You don't build it. You have experience of things that you've been successful at. Then you know how to do them. And every so often, you come across stuff that you don't know how to do. Until you know how to do them, then you get more confident. Okay? So the family court process, for example, will knock confidence out of you because it's other people's opinions that actually do have, first of all, often no basis in truth, but second of all, they can actually change how you decide to live your life. And honestly, the best way of dealing with all of that is just to stay away from it as much as possible. Avoid it. Sometimes you can't avoid these. I remember someone saying, you don't have to turn up for every argument. And I'm like, am I going to see my kids? Yeah, but you don't have to turn up. Like, well, I do if I want to see my kids. So I get that. You've got to get through it as quick as you can. Get out of it so then you can start rebuilding. Some people hang on in that court process for years and years and years and years and years, which is what I did. I did it for 10 years. And in the end, I went, you know what? Fuck it. I ain't ever going to win this game. I ain't ever, ever going to win it. It's impossible to win the game when the cards, the playing field is so stacked against you And so we stepped back, and we have to deal with those consequences too, but we don't have to deal with them every single day. So you building confidence isn't something that you build, it's something that you design. What do you want to be confident about? And people go, well, I'm not confident about business. Okay, great. What aspect of that are you not confident about? Let me move this laptop because I can still see this. It's a boat sticking out the top of my head. What is it that you're not confident about? Well, I'm not confident in sales. Great. Go sell something that's really easy to sell, and then you can sell more of them. They actually become easier to sell the more that you sell. It's like the, you know, going live becomes easier the more that you go live because you're just getting used to it. So let me just check, see if I've got any messages or comments. Sometimes they don't come up in my little chat box, which is just a bit weird. But there you go. No, I don't think we have. If you've got any comments, let me know. Other than that, I think that'll do us today because we covered the four things I really wanted to cover. Can't remember what they are off chance. But I hope that's useful for you. And I hope that that's something that you can begin to put in place. But it's day by day, step by step. That's how you start to find, design, build your confidence. Right, go to it. We're live again on Wednesday in a Property Cash Flow show. Come and join me, Ben. We'll speak to you soon. Take care.
Hey, it's Dan here. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Please click like or subscribe to the entire podcast.